Hello, I'm Pastor Rick, and welcome to our podcast. I hope that the message that you're about to hear will bless and encourage you today.
I have given you 41 minutes. Yeah, come on. Would you welcome Pastor Joel Payne, our former youth pastor, now senior pastor in Pontiac, Illinois. And that's all the introduction you're going to get, brother.
Thank you so much. Hey, it's good to be here today. I really enjoyed our time here this weekend for a wedding. And then Pastor Rick extending the opportunity for us to be here today to preach. Thank you for that. So good to be back in Columbus. Yesterday, my wife and I stepped outside and went, it still smells like Columbus. We walked into the sanctuary the other day for the wedding and went, it still smells like CFA in here. There's something to be said about your odor, right? No, it's a good thing to be back here. We have enjoyed it really this weekend because we were kid-free for half of it. And I know many of you saw, I saw the Facebook post that said the entire family will be here on Sunday, May 1st. And I said, oh no. We had a little bit of a planning thing happen. So we are... Two-thirds of us are here this today, so, but, you know, the most important two-thirds are here today. It's not true. Our older children have had another commitment that they had to stay back to attend this afternoon. In fact, we're missing our daughter's final band concert and her senior recognition, but there's awards to happen, and I'll just give you a quick update. Wife and kids, if you've never met me before, that's great. I'm glad that you're here. And I would love to talk to you after church if you got time to hang around. And those who know me will probably hug my neck for a while. But we're so glad to see new faces here today as well. And so we have my wife, Holly, and we have four kids. Two of them we drug to Columbus when they were little itty-bitty a long time ago, and then we drug them to St. Louis, and then we were weird and drug them right back to Columbus, right? And then while we were here, we were looking for the appointment that God would have for us as senior pastor. My wife said, I think I'm pregnant. And I said, no, you're not. And I went to the store and bought a two-pack of pregnancy tests, and the irony there is hilarious because she passed, I guess, on both of them, and we ended up having twins. So what you remember us of when we left was that the twins were itty-bitty, and they're not so itty-bitty anymore. I have some pictures on the screen. On the left part of the screen, you'll see my wonderful, beautiful daughter that's in 2 weeks graduating high school, and she is planning to go this fall to Illinois State University and study elementary education to be a teacher. And then on the right, because I told you that you won't believe if they were here anyway, you wouldn't recognize them, Jackson, who's taller than me, and obviously way more fit and built than me, like a stud that he is. He's our track and our cross-country star, and also a wonderful student, and he is in 10th grade. I have four cars and four drivers in my house, and I thought it would get easier, and it does not. But we now have six-year-old twins. That's right, they just turned six. So you can see them after church. Go, if you held them in the nursery, go hold them again. They'll think it's great. Thank you, Pastor Rick, for allowing me this opportunity to come today and speak with the church. And really, it shows support for me and my family and the ministry that we carry on in Pontiac, Illinois. We traveled there. It's 4.5 hours away, but at times it feels like a lifetime away. It feels so far away. Your leadership, Pastor Rick, when I was here, even in our phone call since I've left, has really helped me to develop extensively as a minister and pastor of a local congregation, so I appreciate that. Thank you very much. When we moved to Pontiac, only a little over 4 hours away, I wasn't aware that there was a language school that was necessary to help me translate between here and there. See, I know when we send missionaries off, and you guys, well, this is a great mission-sending church, And when you send missionaries off, one of the first things they do is they send missionaries to a training school where they will learn the language. And I thought I was just moving to Illinois, south of Chicago. I had no idea that language school was necessary, but it is. And so today, if you could play along a little word association game with me, I wanted to get you to be part of the language school as well. So this is how it's going to work. On the screen, I'm going to show you an object, and I'm going to count down 3, 2, 1. And when I get to 1, you just shout out what you would call it, and then I will reveal to you what they call it in Pontiac, Illinois. Simple, fairly easy. You see the first one, it would be, and I don't want to tell you exactly what it is, but if you're watching at home, I hope you could see it as well. It is a dispenser of things that you don't want anymore, okay? I can't give it away, but I'm going to count down 3, 2, 1. You shout out and hear what you think you would call it, and I'll reveal to you what they call it there. Ready? 3, 2, 1. Thank you. It's so good to be amongst my people today. No, they call it a garbage can there. That is not a trash can. They do not understand what a trash can is. It's garbage can. And the next one, I'm hoping that you'll understand this one as well. Now, get it in mind. It's one of those things you get at a store to carry items, okay? I don't want to give it away, but I will count down 3, 2, 1. Okay, we had a, they weren't sure. You said bag, and they call it a sack. It's a grocery sack there. It's not a bag. Now you're saying, this is a little picky, Pastor Joel. Why would you pick on your people this way? It gets weirder. Okay, all right. This is just the tame intro. Here we go. This is a great little game we like to play sometimes at tailgates and things like that. 3, 2, 1. Come on, God's people in the house. They call it a weird thing called bags. What is that? You see what I'm saying? You can't go to a party and not look silly, all right, so we're trying to train and teach. Here's another good one. It's that thing you might sprinkle around your landscaping. 3, 2, 1. Thank you. It is called wood chips back in Pontiac, Illinois. And I told you it's going to get weird. The last two are absolutely, you're doing great. I think most of you have hit 100%. You're right. They're wrong. And so, all right, here's this one. This is very easy. It's the thing we serve, especially when we have pitch-ins. Yeah, we have pitch-ins. So you might invite a whole bunch of people over. It's easy to make. So 3, 2, 1. It's even on the can at the store, but that's not what they call it. This one caught us by surprise when somebody brought us some Sloppy Joe. And we said, thank you for the Sloppy Joe. And they looked at us like, what are you talking about? Because in Pontiac, Illinois, they call it barbecue. Now, my stomach says, can show that I understand barbecue. All right, it's still good. And this is the last one. All right, I know what you're going to say. It's totally fine. So I'm in amongst fellow people here. 3, 2, 1. That's right. They call them winners there, and I do not understand why they call them winners. It's totally foreign. You guys help pray for me, especially baseball season. And when they lose, they get exceptionally crazy. They call them winners even more, and I'm like, you all don't even realize. Check the standings, folks. The Cardinals are still ahead of them. You know, I brought this up today because I wanted to talk to you about a little bit of thing about unity, right? I want to talk a little bit about unity today, and I got to say that specifically, I was going to preach a little differently, and then the Holy Spirit got a hold of me and said, this is what you need to preach today. And I really feel like there's some people in here today, and I know it, that you're sitting here and you're saying, I need to be in tune with where the Holy Spirit wants me to be, and maybe I got to stop resisting him. And I wanted to bring this up, that Andy Stanley used a quote back on March 15th, just not but a few weeks ago. Andy Stanley addressed the Georgia State House of Representatives. And his message was regarding to them the difference between disagreement and division. And he said this quote. He said, disagreement is unavoidable, but division is always a choice. Disagreement is unavoidable, but division always a choice. And when I moved to Pontiac, there's a few things we disagreed on. Barbecue, Sloppy Joe's, you get it? Disagreement comes on, it's unavoidable. And when we interact with each other, we're not always going to agree on everything. There's going to be disagreements. those who got married or have been married or still married, you're trying to make this thing work. You understand that disagreements are unavoidable. But division is certainly always a choice that you make. And so when I was presented this, and I really started to kind of let the wheel spin. And we certainly lived in a time that division is actually celebrated in our culture. I mean, look around the culture. There's division becomes to be celebrated. You're different from me, and you're wrong, and I'm right. And we celebrate division. We might feel like it's just a disagreement, but it's gone beyond that. Because now it's become our choice to distance ourselves, separate ourselves from other people. Politically, we see this. Racially, we see this. COVID-19, we see this. I know I don't have to preach about COVID-19, okay? But it's true. And sometimes all of those things happen at the same time. We might find differences, and because of our differences, we begin to distance ourselves from some people. By the way, that's not what God called us to do. And when I was going to start my message, I was going to preach about our interactions with each other, but then the Holy Spirit took over and said, listen, the reason why many of these people are so divided and why God's people are so divided and people are divided in our culture is because this, people are divided against God. People are wrestling and they're disagreeing with the Holy Spirit. Church people are not necessarily following the leading of the Holy Spirit. And because they're not even willing to listen and follow what God has for them, how impossible is it then to agree with each other and follow each other and do it together? There's a church that's at war, in a sense, and at division and at odds with the moving of the Spirit. So why would they not be at odds with each other? I'm going to read to you out of Romans chapter 8, verse 11. It says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your own sinful nature, your old sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father. For his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. I read this to you because I want to urge you as children of God, his Spirit is in our spirit, and we're connected. But maybe you're sitting in this room like me at times, I've been a little bit conflicted with the moving of God's Spirit. Have you ever had God asking you to do something and you're like, I just don't know. I've shared this story at my church that I currently pastor, so it's okay to share it here. The night before we packed our truck, and man, we had some great packers. Thank you. I sat on my bed in my bedroom, weeping. And my wife comes in the room. She's been packing feverishly. We were expecting people at the house early in the morning, and she says, come on, I need your help. And I said, I can't do this. And she says, well, you have to do it. I've been doing it all by myself. I says, you have to. This is an option. We leave tomorrow morning. People are coming. We got to get everything ready to put on the truck. You have to. And I said, I can't. I needed a good wife to kick me in the pants. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? And it's right, because I was in that middle of a crisis moment with the Lord. I knew where he was calling me, what he's calling me to do, and I needed to follow. And at the midnight hour, I'm sitting on my bed. Literally at the midnight hour, I'm sitting on bed. I can't do this. She says, what are you worried about? I don't know. What if they don't like me? What if they hate me? What if? If we all lived that way, we'd be afraid to be led by the Spirit. Here's what I would tell you. As children of God, because we're tied to Him, His Spirit with ours, we are to be led by the Spirit of God. And He's going to lead us to do things that maybe we're uncomfortable with. He's going to ask us to do those things that maybe we're insecure about. Do you think I walked into senior pastoring having all the answers? No, I walked into a church with people who told me they had the answers. Woo! And they might have had a couple. I had a lot too. Together we brought something powerful and we make a church. I was insecure. I talked a big game, but inside I was a little bit shy. Nervous and scared. Most of us understand what it means to be led, don't we? I know many of you, like me, often use this little thing on your phone called the navigation app. No matter what brand you have, an iPhone or Android, doesn't matter what you have, there's little these little apps they put on there that track where you go and what you do, right? And sometimes you occasionally need to know where you're going, and it always has suggestions, doesn't it? And you tell it where you want to go, and you set it up in your car because you don't stare at it because that'll get you a ticket. At least in Illinois it does. Don't do it, especially when your student drivers are riding with you. It's not good. You set it up. Maybe some of you have some of those things in your car. You put the little dock, you put it in, and it talks to you, and you can talk. Well, you can talk to it, but that's kind of weird too. But it tells you where to go. How many of you are like me? Like, I use the navigation app. I need to know where I'm going, especially if I haven't been there before or I'm a little bit unsure of how to get there. I want to know this too. And just like you, I want to know the fastest way to get there, don't you? You're like, you know, lead foot me. Like, I got to get there quicker. And there's always the scenic. I love that the Apple uses different routes. Sometimes it gives you the scenic option. Some of you like that because you're a little bit at that pace of life that you want to slow it down. But for me, I'm still on the go, right? And you understand, because once you put it in, it's done. You just have to follow directions because you're being led by the navigation. Since we all understand what it means to be led, then the question we must ask ourselves is, what is leading me? If we understand what it means to be led, then what is the question really remains is, what is leading me? Maybe you're at home and you're watching right now. What is leading you? What is driving you? What is telling you where to go? And I'm hoping that what is driving you as children of God is the Spirit of God. I'm hoping what you're led by is the Spirit of God, that He's guiding you and directing you and telling you which way to go. I must admit, there are days that I'm better at following the Holy Spirit than others. There's days that I can listen to the Holy Spirit and I can be on board with what He's telling me that day. There are times that what He's asking me to do is a bit of a challenge. One of the things that He usually speaks to me on is when I walk into a standing in line in a grocery store and, you know, it's not going fast enough or things like that. And I begin to really be checked by the Holy Spirit because my frustration begins to set in. And maybe why it's not moving faster or why the person who's at the counter is incompetent or whatever. And the Holy Spirit begins to check me and say, listen, you don't know what they're going through. It's usually at those times I'll take a time out just to be extra friendly or to share a little bit of my faith or to at least just for a moment give them a nice conversation because they're probably tired of talking to people who have had very sharp conversations with them. So it's listening to the Holy Spirit because He speaks in big ways, He speaks in small ways. Here's the thing about this that I know. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16 says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Let Him be what guides you. What leads you? That the Holy Spirit guides your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. Going back to our earlier statements that we read from Andy Stanley, our nature is often in disagreement with the Spirit. Our nature is often in disagreement with the Spirit. Andy Stanley says disagreement is natural. It happens. It's unavoidable. Disagreement's going to come. But division is your choice. And so I can tell you this, our nature is often in disagreement with the spirit, because our nature, we were born and we were given a sinful nature, thanks to Adam and Eve, right? And so oftentimes our nature kicks in and asks us to do, or leads us to do, what the spirit does not desire for us to do. And so our nature often is in disagreement with the spirit. Galatians chapter 5 goes on then to mention later on what are they supposed to look like when they follow your own desires, and then they also talk about what is your life looks at when you follow the spirit's desires. And so let's read this in verse 24 and 25 as we begin to kind of close out this chapter 5 of Galatians with these verses, because when your spirit's following the Holy Spirit, this is what life looks like. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed it, the passions and desires of their sinful nature, to his cross and crucified them there. If you're walking today and you're a believer and you're saying, I haven't done that yet, or maybe you're thinking you're a believer and you haven't done that yet, or you're not really nailing your sins to the cross, or you just pick them back up and carry them with you everywhere you go, you're out of line with what the Spirit wants for you. This is then what's verse 25. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Sandwiched in between the verses I read is the thing that says, this is the fruit of the Spirit. This is what your life produces when you follow God. Love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering. All these things that are in there, this is what our life looks like when we're following the Spirit's leading. So as I'm sitting there twitching at the grocery counter, and the Holy Spirit checks me, I'm reminded that the fruit of my life is not to be impatient, but rather to be patient. That's what it looks like for me. It probably looks totally different for you. And I have to stop and listen to the Spirit and follow his leading, because he's going to lead me into greater things than I've ever known before. 5 years ago, I sat on that bed, Pastor Rick, crying. We drove almost all the way there the first day, stayed 30 minutes away. We were set to begin January 1st, 2017. It was my first date. I remember we pulled into Bloomington Normal on December 30th, 2016. On December 31st, we pulled into the home that we occupied for 6 months. But sitting in the hotel room on December 30th, 2016, I got my first pastoral phone call. There was two of our members that had strokes and they were now in the hospital. I said, Pastor, can you pray for my mom? She's in the hospital. Pastor, can you pray for so-and-so? She's in the hospital with a stroke. Same hospital. Actually, there were rooms were side by side. On December 31st, before I even started my ministry, I wasn't even on payroll yet. They didn't know. I hadn't met most of the church, some of the church. I didn't know. Saturday, December 16th, I drove down 30 minutes after unloading my truck to get to the hospital to pray with two people who didn't even know who I was. Had I listened to my own self on Thursday night, December 29th, I can't do this, we're not going. I would have been out of the will of God, and I probably wouldn't be there ready to minister. I was insecure. Thank the Lord he got me right away going. I didn't know what I was doing. I just found the hotel or the hospital. I asked the person at the desk, do you know who these people are? Because I don't know who they are, but I'm here to see them. And they said, this way, and this way. So I went that way, and that way. I walked in, knocked on the door, and I surprised some people because they don't know who I am yet. But I'm like, I'm here to pray for you. A few months later, I was sitting in a living room of Dorothy Yops, one of the first people I saw in the hospital that day, watching the sunset with her. She began to talk about the sunset of her life and the season that she was in. She knew she was leaving the earth soon. A month after that, I preached her funeral. And I was right where I needed to be. Right where I needed to be. If you listen to the Holy Spirit, you'll be right where he needs you to be. And you'll be available to do what he needs you to do. It's not always easy. I hate packing. I made a deal with the Lord, if you ever move me from Pontiac, Illinois, you'll bring movers. Professional movers. And I'll say, yes, that goes, yeah, that, yeah, perfect. You do that. It's good. That's wonderful. Because we moved into a temporary housing situation. I knew I was going to have to move in 6 months again. It was terrible. I'm sorry. Not to complain. The Lord's good to me, right? Can I tell you this? The disagreements about how we live will naturally come because our flesh will want us to go down paths that the Holy Spirit doesn't want for us. Division, though, or not being in unity with the Spirit, that's your and mine and our choice. And as a church, this is important too, because we have to be sensitive to the leading of the Spirit corporately, and we have to disagree less with each other and be unified more. Wouldn't it be amazing if the world began to see a church that didn't just argue about theology? Yeah. By the way, I'm not saying that theology is important or beliefs aren't important. Don't hear me wrong. What if they saw a church that just unified itself to pull out the purpose of the Holy Spirit? Come on, right? The world would be different. And I think the struggle I'm wrestling with today, and I don't know if you are, is that God's people are in such division that the spirit of unity that's coming from him, from the Holy Spirit, they're in such division with him that they can't even be in unity with each other. So God allows us free will. Can I just say that? I know that we believe that, but oftentimes I feel that people don't really want to practice that. Free will oftentimes takes us out of God's will. People all the time are asking me, what does God want from me? A teenager, my daughter, coming out of high school, going into college, I want to go wherever God wants me to go. I want to be where he wants me. I need to hear from God. He needs to speak to me. And I had young people when I was a youth pastor struggle, and they say, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. And we have this expectation that they have to have it all figured out by 18. And I would encourage them to pray and hear from God. What happens if I haven't heard from God? And I think sometimes we don't like this thing called free will because we want to be told what to do. I want God just to tell me what to do. And you know what? God's told me what to do several times, and sometimes that thing has changed. I can remember when I walked into this building for the first time in 2007. It did not look like this. I had walked into a church about a week earlier and had a job offer at another church before I was youth pastor here. And I turned it down because I didn't know why, but the Holy Spirit said to do it. I had a dream right before I walked in here of this church with a sanctuary with a balcony and purple carpet. Now, I know some of you are like, I don't even know what you're talking about, Pastor. This is tan carpet. It's been here ever since I've been here. I'll check out upstairs. My wife and I walked in. At that time, Pastor Don Andreessen was the pastor. We were coming to interview with him in his office, which used to be over there, which is now a nursery. Praise the Lord that you needed a bigger nursery. And my wife and I walked past here, and you can't help but notice all the glass windows in the back of the sanctuary. And the first thing we did is snapped our head to the right, and I went, purple carpet. And it wasn't like, oh, how pretty is the purple carpet? It was like the Lord gave me a dream, and I thought, oh, yeah, purple carpet. There's not a church anywhere now, God, that has purple carpet. Come on. Purple carpet. And now, when I went to Pontiac, Illinois, I told them this story too, so they're not going to be offended if they watch this online. Okay, don't be offended. But when we rolled up to Pontiac, Illinois for the interview, we were kind of coming around the corner, and I said, the church should be right here. And my wife says, that can't be it. Just got to keep driving around the corner. It's got to be another church around the corner. I said, but that one says Assembly of God, real big in black letters on the side, babe. No, that's not it. Just keep. That's not even a church. That looks like, I don't even know what that looks like. A homeless shelter. Oh, go, keep going. She didn't say that last part. I added it for dramatic effect. But she did say, that's not it. Keep going. And we walked in and I went, red carpet everywhere. And then I can't imagine. We picked up out of that building and moved into a new building. And now I walk in the church and I said, a basketball court. Now I know what I'm doing after church. This is good. We moved into an old school with the gymnasium. Listen, God changes plans. And if you're following in his spirit, we want to be told what to do, really. But then when we're told what to do, it's like, well, I don't know about that. isn't there something else? And he's like, I got to get you here before I can get you there. Oftentimes, that's how he works. Sometimes he lets us bypass steps, but not a lot. I got to get you here. And I think following me and being in unity with me here will develop you as I lead you here. So sometimes when we're trying to skip steps of God here, it's not really his purpose for our life. I have a wise man in our church. Probably about a year and a half ago, he began to present a thought process to me about God and God's will. He said, we believe that God is omniscient or he's all-knowing. It's a fancy word. He's all-knowing. He's all-wise. And when we know what God's will, so we're always asking, so what, God, is your will? What is your will? What is your will? When we ask God that, we're assuming that there's one magical path through life that's the best path, and we have to be on that path. The right one. And if we get off that path, we are then out of God's will, and we know, and God knows the destiny of everyone, so, here's the thing, here's the problem. How many decisions do you make in a day? Thousands of decisions? Well, yeah, that's true, but, I mean, I made a lot of decisions. I drank water 3 times. I counted because I thought this could come into play later. I don't know. I had drinks of water 3 times. I made 3 decisions to take a drink of water since service started. Is that a big deal? Probably not. I don't know, it just became a sermon illustration out of nowhere. So most of the decisions we make aren't life-altering or taking us in and out of God's will, right? But some do. Some decision you might make today, including at the end of this, at this time we have here, might make a decision that will launch you forward in the future. So here's the thing. I started to talk with him about, so how many tens of thousands of decisions, based upon your decisions, how many of those might affect the outcome of your life? Could it be that God in his omniscience, he knows every single outcome of every single decision of your life? Because I said, well, God knows what his will for our life is. He also knows the outcome. He says, he would probably in his omniscience know the decision. See, I used to like the choose your own adventure books in high school. And I would read it one way, and then I would go read it the other way to find out the other end result and everywhere else. He says, if God's so omniscient, he would know every outcome of every decision you've made in your life. But he probably chooses to let you make those decisions. That's free will. Sure, he's got things that he wants you to do. He's got a path he wants you to take. But you're free to choose what you want to choose. And here's the thing, I'll give you this because this is even better. At the end of every decision you've made that took you out of his will, he always has a way of reconciliation to get you back into the unity with the Spirit. He knows that you're going to choose a multitude of things today, and he knows the outcomes of all those decisions in his omniscience. And yet, he still lets you make that choice. And if you've messed up and you've stepped out of God's will for your life, he'll always, as long as he tarries, will find a way for you to be reconciled with him. It takes kind of the pressure off of having to seriously strain about always having the perfect way of my life, knowing that I can follow him, and when he leads me, if I follow, he'll take care of me. To have unity of the Spirit, we have to overcome ego. Stop assuming that you have all the right answers. Understand God's ways are not our ways, and his ways are always better. Pride is something I could teach. I'm in a back home. I'm doing probably a year on self. I'm giving them to it 1 month at a time. I think I might write a book called Self, dealing with our egos, dealing with pride, because I think pride is the start of every sin issue. Thinking that you know better, being convinced that maybe your way is better than God's way, started at Adam and Eve in the garden. They were tempted by the serpent, and he said, is it really bad for you? God's just afraid you'll know his ways and you'll see his way. And so they disobeyed God. Pride's the start of every single sin. Ego and self, if we're consumed by it, will get us out of the unity with the Spirit in a hurry. So today we have to understand that for the unity of the Spirit, we have to overcome ego. Stop assuming you have all the right answers. Pride will always be a struggle for us. I feel that pride, ego, and self, they're roots of every sin. So ego is probably the number one problem with all humans. It's actually probably easier to say it's the number one problem with all Christians. That's why we have so many scriptures about humility. And pride is, I can't go too far into this because I'll preach until next year. So I got to stay. He says, this is my church. You can't preach every Sunday. So all right, I have. No. Pride will get us in a lot of problems with God and conflict with him. Pride says you don't need to go to church. You could just worship God from anywhere, including your pajamas, whenever you feel like it online, right? Pride says you don't need the fellowship of believers. Pride says you can do it on your own. You can do it your way. Pride says a lot of things to us. It gets us out of the will of God. Isaiah 55, 8, 9 says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. A big factor is that we all are afraid that God's ways might lead us into dangerous, or let's just be honest, uncomfortable situations. We're more afraid that his ways and his will take us out of our comfort zone or possibly into dangerous situations. I love talking to missionaries because many of them, most of them, all of them really, have given up their own life and comfort for a life of insecurity, of uncomfortability, not knowing, having to lean on and rely upon the support of people. This is why, listen, you made a missions commitment, you better be paying that missions commitment. I tell my church that too, right? Because these people have left their comfortability and their lives to go where God sent them, away from home and away from where they're comfortable, and they step out in faith. And maybe God's calling you to do that today too. You're sitting here saying, that's what he's been speaking to me, and I've been in disagreement with the Spirit for a while on this. And maybe you're to go. See, following the Spirit may not always seem safe, but it is secure. Following the Spirit may not always seem safe, but it is secure. In reality, following the Spirit may really always be risky. It'll cost you something. But it is the place of our security. And even though it will cost you something, God will always provide you what you need. I think many people don't do what God asks them to do, or they're not following the Spirit of God in their life. They're not in unity with him because they're afraid of what he'll ask of them. They're afraid that they're going to have to pack up a truck and move to a place full of heathens that love Cubs, the Chicago Cubs. That last one in my word association game was just for Pastor Jack. So somebody please let him know. I'm still praying for him. We're afraid that sharing my faith with that teller at the bank might expose us as a fraud. Because maybe they know how I've reacted and spoken to them in the past. And there's no way they would think I'm a Christian. We're afraid of stepping into leadership or volunteering in the nursery because we're afraid of little kids might spit up on us. And they will. But I'm thankful that when I had little babies here, there were some that said, put me in there, coach. I'm in. Let your kids spit up on me. I love them. Our little boys came today. We said, there's going to be people that are going to pick you up and hold you because that's what they were used to. You don't have to. They get a little freaked out by it at age 6. We just said, thank you. If we introduced you to somebody that helped watch you wipe your rear end in the church nursery, would you tell them thank you? You can do it yourself now. You're afraid. God's been hitting your heart to step in and talk to Pastor Jack about what can I do to help your kids at church. But you've been afraid. It seems uncomfortable. I might miss out on what's going on in the sanctuary. The Holy Spirit's been speaking to you to start a ministry. You've been sitting back afraid. This is what he says. Let me give you a few scripture verses and I'll land the plan here. James chapter 1, verse 12 says, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18, yes, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil attack and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 said, and the same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 32 and 33 says, for the simpletons turn away from me to death. Fools are destroyed by their own complacency, but all who listen to me will live in peace, untroubled by fear of harm. You've been on the fence because you're terrified. And God says, listen, I'm not taking you to safe places, but it's secure in me. This church isn't going to always be in the safest of places, I don't think. Because if you're in line with the Spirit, he'll take you some places that's uncharted. It'll seem crazy, but it's secure. And if you're here today or watching online, and you've been wrestling with the Spirit, you've been disagreeing, you're terrified of what's coming next, trust him. Listen to him. Follow him. And you're as secure as you'll ever be. God bless you. Pastor Rick, would you come back today and close us out today?
Thanks for joining us for this message from Columbus First Assembly. If this message has blessed you in any way, would you share it on your social media feeds so that others can be blessed also? If you would like to join us for an in-person service and you're close to us, we are in Columbus, Indiana, then our services start at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings and our church is located on the corner of 10th and Iowa. Once again, thanks for joining us. Look forward to having you join us again soon.